We are holding Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. We started yesterday. It was a short shiur yesterday. I just gave a basic background introduction to the sugya of Neman Alai Abba. Sugya of Neman Alai Abba, again, just bekitzer to mention the questions that we're going to be dealing with in the sugya. There were two primary questions that I wanted to deal with. One is, the Mishnah tells us that if a person, and we saw this Mishnah already quoted in Daf Chav Gimel, that if a person says, I will accept a pasul, like Abba, Avicha, someone like that, as one of Gimel Roi Bakar, as my Dayan, my aid, we discussed yesterday which one, both, halachas, it's both, I accept as either a Dayan or an aid, doesn't make a difference, I accept one of these pasul people, and then I see that the Din Torah is not going quite the way I like it. Meaning, Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I owe you nothing. Reuven says, yes, you do. You owe me $1,000. I'll prove it. Shimon says, okay, prove it. Reuven says, I can't really prove it, but your father maybe could testify that you really owe me the money. So Shimon says, okay, Neman Alai Abba. If my father testifies that I owe you the money, I'll give you the money. There's no way my father's going to testify that even though I know my father's a pasula aid, but if my father testifies, even together with another kasher aid, that I owe you the money, I'll pay you the money. And then Shimon, to his horror, sees his own father walk into court and testify that he owes the money to Reuven. So Shimon says, well, wait a second. I don't trust my father. I'm not going to give you the money just because my father says I owe you the money. My father's a pasul aid. So that's machlokes in the Mishnah. Can Shimon back out? He already said, he said, if my father says I'll pay you the money, then I'll pay you the money. So can he back out? So Rabbi Meir holds Yachol Achzabo, he's allowed to back out. The Chum hold Einu Yachol Achzabo, he's not allowed to back out. So question number one we need to deal with in this sugya is, and when I say question number one, I mean the question we're going to deal with second, but it's the, I guess, more important question that we have to deal with in the sugya, is by what mechanism are you locked in? According to the Chacham, that Einu Yachol Achzabo, why are you locked into that commitment? If I tell someone in the store, I'm going to buy something from your store tomorrow, am I mechuyev to buy something from the store tomorrow? It may be wrong to tell him that I'm not going to and then not follow through, but there's no kinyan, there's nothing that locks me in, that makes me buy something from his store tomorrow. I didn't do any ma'aseh kinyan whatsoever. So by what mechanism could there possibly be an iser to be chozer, an iser to back out? The halacha is very clear that there is no kinyan bidvar. You don't make a kinyan with just words alone. In honesty, the halacha is not so clear because it's actually a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam seems to assume that you can make a kinyan with words alone. The Rambam seems to assume you can make kinyan, but this is a problem even according to the Rambam. The Rambam holds that if I just verbally say that I'm going to buy something or that I'm going to pay you, I actually create a schaivus, I actually have to pay you. That a kinyan can be made just with words alone. The Rambam at the very beginning of Hilchos Mechira actually says that. But this mission is a problem even according to the Rambam. And we're going to get to this when we discuss Asmachta and Chavtal and Beis, because the Rambam holds, let's take a step back, if words are enough to make a kinyan, then what's the difference? Then why do I ever need a kinyan? What does a kinyan add that words didn't already accomplish? Meaning, why do I ever need a mashiach, agba, any of those things? If words are enough to make kinyan, what's the Rambam talking about? Words are enough to make kinyan. Such a shveres shita. So the Rambam explains that typically when you make a real kinyan, you could add a tanai. You could add any sort of tanai into the kinyan you want. You can add a condition. So for instance, if you're mekadesh anisha, real kinyan, kesef, shtar, bia, whatever, mekadesh nisha, you're about to give her a ring. So you could be mekadesh her almanas, whatever condition works for you. Almanas, that we're going to spend the first Pesach by my parents' house, not by your parents' house, or whatever it is, whatever condition you want to connect, it works. That's only true if you do an actual kinyan. The Rambam holds that any tanai that you add in to a dibur, just words, no kinyan, and you try to add it in tonight, it makes it ineffective. It's not a good kinyan. So even though the Rambam holds that words alone can create a ischaivus, can force you to do something, the Rambam Shita, and we will see it inside and discuss it at much greater length when we do Asmachta, the Rambam Shita is that if you didn't do a real kinyan, you just said words, and you tried to make it conditional, it's not binding. And the Rambam says, in fact, that is the very definition of asmachta. Rambam has a very different definition of asmachta than everybody else does. That's the Rambam's definition of asmachta. A kinyan with words that you then made conditional, which therefore invalidates the entire kinyan with words. So in our mission, what's going on? I'm saying that, yeah, I'll pay the $1,000. Great, kinyan with words, that should work. But what are we saying in our mission? Not just I'll pay you $1,000. If my father testifies, if your father testifies, if there's a condition. So even according to the Rambam, we have a problem. So let's go back. Basic problem. What mechanism is there to be mechayiv the guy that the chacham are going to say in yochel achzber? No, you already accepted it. You have to stick with it. So that is a very fundamental question. Bein l'shita satosus and all the other rishonim, bein l'shita sarambam. That's going to be the problem. So we pointed out yesterday that the Gemara on the bottom of Chavdal and Manalev has three opinions as to what the Machlokas Ramei, which cases the Machlokas Ramei and the Chachamim actually cover. We have two models. There's the Machlach model and the Etein Lecha model. The Machlach model means that you're coming, let's say it this way, the Toveya, the person who's claiming the money, is the one who says, okay, I'll accept testimony that I don't owe you the money, and then, I mean, that you don't owe me the money, and then I'll be mochel, then you'll be able to keep the money. Even though it's my father, and my father's not a kashra aid, if my father testifies that you don't owe me the money, well then I'm mochel, you can keep the money. That's machalach. Eten lecha is the one who's being sued says that if my father testifies, or your father testifies, or whoever testifies, Roy Bucker testify, that I owe you the money, then I will give you the money. So there are three ways to understand the Mishnah. We have machlokas, whether you can be chozer on the acceptance or not. First way to understand it is that the entire machlokas is only, the Gemara says, be'etein lecha. In a case where I say, the first way to understand it is be'machel lecha, that the entire machlokas is only if I say, I will be mochel, if someone testifies that you don't owe it. But if it's a case of etein lecha, that I'm promising to give, well then everyone would hold you're allowed to be chozer. If that was the only shita in the Gemara, our whole kasha falls away. Our whole kasha would fall away. Why would our kasha fall away? Because what was our whole kasha? By what mechanism are you locked in? That's a kasha when there's a kinyan that has to be made. When there's a transaction that has to be made. By what mechanism am I locked in to have to pay the money? But if the whole case of the machlokas was only a case of mechila, it's not a case where anyone has to pay anybody anything. The whole point was, I accept the edus of these pasul edim to say that I won't pay the money. That you'll be potter from paying the money. Well, mechila for sure doesn't. Mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan. That's pashut. All the Rishonim say. Mechila is always verbal. If you owe me $1,000 and I come to you today on Monday and I say, I'm mochel, don't pay me back. On Tuesday, I can't come to you and say, I want my $1,000. It's too late, I was already mochel. That for sure you don't need a kinyan. So if the whole machlokas from Meir the Chachamim is only whether you're locked in a case of machalach, but in a case of etein lach, everyone would agree you're not locked in at all, so that's great, that works out fine. Because etein lach is a case of a kinyan. So there was no kinyan. So of course you're not going to be locked in. Machalach, there's room to argue. Is this a real mechila? Is it not a real mechila? Mechila is normally on mochel. Over here, it's if this one testifies, then I'm mochel. Okay, that I see. That's machalach shemein lecham. But if that was the only day in the Gemara, we'd be good to go. We'd be set. We'd have no problem of understanding by what mechanism the chacham hold you locked in. The mechanism is pashut. The mechanism is mechila. Mechila never needs a kinyan. Clear on that? Second sheet of the Gemara, though, starts putting the picture in disarray a little bit. The second sheet of the Gemara says, no, the machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim is even be'etein lecha. The Chacham would agree you're locked in, even if the condition was that if Av and Avicha testify that I owe the money, I will then pay the money. All I said were those words. I didn't do an act of kinyan now. But I promise that I will pay the money if Abba Vavicha testified that I owe the money. And the Chachamim say, you're locked in, you can't back out. So now we're stuck. If that's the machlokas. And the Gemara, the two versions of that are, is it only Betein Lecha, but not B'machalach, or is it both Betein? It doesn't matter. The point is that if the machlok is Betein Lecha, we need to find a mechanism that this works. Why would the Chum hold, I'm locked in, just because I promised I will pay the money? That's not a mechila. Promising I will pay the money is not a mechila. It's a promise of a future kinyan. So why is a promise of a future kinyan binding at all? And there is one shita that by machlach, everyone agrees that that's binding, because that's a mechila. Everyone agrees that's binding. Even the Rameir agrees that's binding. Etein lechaz where you have a machlokas. Again, difficult. Why? By what mechanism? What locks me in? To answer that question, which we will come back to, it's important to really see the entire Gemara. Because the Gemara is going to raise, and that's why I said you should do the Gemara till the Mishnah. Did you guys do that? You get to the Mishnah? So if you the Gemara is going to raise another issue that seems unrelated, but may be very, very much related. The Gemara talks about whether this machlokes applies lefnei gemar din or achar gemar din. When do the chacham say you're locked in, you can't go back? Is it only before the gemar? Is it only after the gemar din that I said what happened? I mean, think about the case after the gemar din. It's crazy. I say you bring these dayanim. They're roe bakar. They're a bunch of cattle. Whatever you call them, right? Shepherds for cattle. You call them something else. Whatever. Herdsmen. They're the cowboys. They're a bunch of cowboys. They don't know anything about din. And I say, fine, bring these cowboys. If they judge that I owe you the money, I'll pay the money. They go through a holding Torah, Eidim back and forth, discussing deliberations. Goes on for weeks, fighting, screaming, cursing, everyone, right? However DNA Torah works. Sometimes that's the way they work. This one, you're not Bikiris, I'm not Mochel, you don't need your Mechila, you're in Russia. Okay, that's the way Dayanim generally talk to each other in DNA Torah. So they go through the whole Din Torah. After weeks of a Din Torah, the three cowboys, bang the gavel and they say, yeah, you have to pay him money. And I had committed 3 weeks earlier. They put in all this work because 3 weeks earlier I had committed that if these cowboys say that I owe you the money, then I'm going to pay the money. So now I say, no, cowboys are pasul dayanim. I'm not listening to the cowboys anymore. I would only listen to, I don't listen to Roy Bakar. We just put in 3 weeks of work. And you said that we're okay. You said you're taking us. You're accepting it. And Rameir says, if we hold that the machlok zachar gemar din, Rameir says, yachal achzer bo. Yeah, but I could always back out. I could always change my mind. And the Chacham says, no, the gemar din, it's too late. Any yachal achzer bo. Is that the case that they're arguing about? Or is the case before the gemar din? They haven't yet had a gemar din. I just don't like the way the case is going. It just got started, and all of a sudden I see my father prancing into court, and he's not looking at me, and he doesn't want to look me in the eye, and he's testifying against it. I don't like this. I don't like where this is headed. So now I want to back out. No one banged the gavel. No one got, there was no gemar din. There was no final decisions. So that's when I'm backing out. Which case is the case of the machlok? Because that's what the gemara raises. Is it lefnei gemar din, leachar gemar din? What's the maskana of the gemara? Machlokas is... I'm honestly asking, what's the maskana of the Gemara? I don't remember. So what's the machlokas is? I think the maskana of the Gemara is the achar gemar din machlokas v'alacha k'divrei chachamim, right? Chavdal and Bey is in the middle. They finally sent shalach le Rav Nachman bar Rav le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov yilam denu rabenu. Rav Nachman bar Rav sent to his friend Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, who had the same name as him. Teach us, our teacher. Lefnei gemar din machlokas or liachar gemar din machlokas? Is this machlokas before the gemar din or after the gemar din? V'alacha k'divrei mi? And who do we baskin like? Shalach lei la'achar gemar din machlokas v'alacha k'divrei chachamim. It's only after the gemar din, and the halach is like the chachamim, that you're locked in after once there's a gemar din. But again, we have to ask the question: by what mechanism are you locked in? The reason I'm showing you this Gemara is that's probably where the answer lies. Somewhere in the Gemara Din must lie that mechanism that locks you in. Why? Because before Gemara Din, everyone agrees that you're not locked in. Right, so we want to know, what makes me have to pay? that ain't the machlokas. The machlokas is when I say I'm gonna have to pay. What is mechayiv me to pay? It's not a mechila. There's no kinyan. What's mechayiv me to pay? So if you want to answer that question, and the Gemara says explicitly that there's nothing that's mechayiv me to pay before the Gemara Din, the only chiyuv to pay comes after the Gemara Din. Obviously, something happens in the Gemara Din that creates a chiyuv. Question, of course, is going to be what? What changes at the Gemara Din that generates chiyuv? So we posed that question yesterday with a lot less details. So now we have it with all the details. That is question number one in the sugya. Bein l'shitas ha-tosos, bein l'shitas ha-rambam, that even words alone can make a kinyan, but it can't make a kinyan al-tanai. What mechanism locks you in? And now that we know that it's only, that the machlokas could even be by, if the machlokas are only by machlach, it would be obvious what mechanism locks you in, and that is mechila. But now that we know, or that we have the possibility that the machlokas is by etein lach, so we know it's got to be something that locks you in, and it's not mechila. There's got to be some mechanism, according to the Chum, that locks you in. And we know from Amud Beis that that mechanism probably takes place at the Gemar Din. Whatever locks me into that chiyuv, whatever's going to be mechayiv me, must happen at the Gemar Din. We just don't yet know what actually happens at the Gemar Din. That is major discussion in the Rishon. The other kasha, which will take a little quicker, be a little easier, I think, is on the first line of the Gemara. That Amar Rav Dim Reid Rav Nachman Reid Rav Yosef Kund Kibble Alei Bechad. That the whole case in our Mishnah is where you say Nemen Alei Abur Nemen Alei Avicha to be one of the Edim, not that Nemen Alei Abba to be all three Edim. So we pointed out yesterday Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had to understand that line. Rashi says, even though there are another two kosher dayanim with him, still Rameir would still say you're allowed to back out, even though the Beis Din isn't all that bad. There are two kosher dayanim. There's just one father on the Beis Din and two kosher dayanim. So you might have thought that Rameir would say you're locked into that Beis Din because it's not such a bad Beis Din. Kamash Milan, that you're not even locked in to that Beis Din. But Rashi's implication is, let's say you were a Beis Din of all three Pasul Dayanim, and it wasn't just one Pasul Dayan, let's say it was all three Pasul Dayanim, implication is it would be the same Din. Rameir would hold Yachal Achsebo, you could back out, and the Chum would hold any Yachal Achsebo, you're locked into that. That's the implication of Rashi. Yes, the example we give is a case where you accept Abba as one of the Dayanim, but who hadin, if you would have accepted Abba Vavicha as all three Dayanim, you would have been able to be Chozer. Right? That's Shitas Rashi. Zok Tosfos, lo nihira. Dekimendo the Rabusa Nakte, havle le meimar lo tzricha. So he has a language problem with it, that if that's what the Gemara was really saying, it could have altered the language slightly. We explained that yesterday. I don't want to get back into the language diuk that he makes. Let's just get to Shita. To be the kamar kigon mashmet dafka ka'amar kigon de kibble alei b'chad. Says Tosfos, when the Gemara says that the case is you accept Abba as one of the dayanim, that means that had you accepted Abba or Avicha as all three of the dayanim, then even the Chachamim would agree, you're always allowed to go back. Yochel Achsebo. Why? Tosfos coins a phrase. Well, coin the phrase. Comes up in other places in Shas also. Tarti L'Reisa. It's one thing to have two kosher Dayanim and one bad Dayan. So I have one strike against my Beis Din. It's just one strike. But when you have my father counting as all three Dayanim, or your father counting as all three Dayanim, you have two strikes. Number one, you're taking one person and counting as three. And number two, that person that you're counting is possible. Whenever there are two strikes against it, then everyone would agree, Yachal Achsebo. You're always allowed to back out on such a commitment, because that's a crazy commitment. This is related to the other question, meaning, it's going to be hard to explain why it matters whether there's one strike against you or two strikes against what you've accepted we don't yet know what locks you into the acceptance in the first place. I mean, if we were to be able to describe clearly why my acceptance means anything long term, and I'm locked in and I can't go back on that, then maybe we could begin to understand a little bit why, when there's a double whammy, a double negative on the acceptance, then I'm not locked in. So it is related to the other question. But before we even, again, get to that other question, we first have to yeah? And the other one is that one puzzle die counts as all three. You don't have two others with him. He's the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Not literally, it's just the expression. Not going to execute anybody. So Tosus has this yesod that there's something called tarti l'reisa, a double negative. Now, when it's a double negative, everyone holds that you're not locked in. You can't possibly be locked into a double negative. Now, the question becomes, how do you define double negative? Meaning, there are several cases you can come up with that maybe are on the borderline of being double negative or not being a double negative. Let's say, for instance, it's not abba v'avicha. I take one perfectly kosher diet, right? Let's say you know kosher mishpat backwards and forwards, right? So I decide you're going to be my dayan. Who are the other dayanim? I tell you, I trust you. You know kosher mishpat backwards and forwards. You're all three. Is that a single negative or a double negative? What would you say? Sounds like a single negative. Why? Because I'm counting one guy as all three. But isn't that a double jump though? I'm not only counting him as more than one. Meaning, I'm not only counting him as two, I'm even counting him as three. So should that make it a double negative? Because I'm counting him as two extra people. How do you define Tarti L'Reisa exactly? What if I take a single kosher guy and I want him to be three? So I handed out yesterday toward the end, and again, if you didn't get yesterday's original handout, you probably didn't get the supplemental handout. You got the original also, didn't you? They didn't get the original? Oh. I left one with your chavrusas. They obviously didn't keep it for you. Do you have an extra? Oh, Ross? Maybe? No? I thought I left one of the conversations. Maybe I didn't. I didn't want to make you feel bad. So, take a look at the Ketzos if you have it. And if you don't, I guess listen to the Ketzos. Ketzos in Simon Chav Beis discusses a comment of the Sma. Sma is one of the commentators on Chosh Mishpat, Shulchan Aruch Chosh Mishpat. Say from Yira Seinayim. Samach Mem Ayin. Says the Sma, if you accept a Yachid, a regular single kosher Dayan, in place of three, Lo Havitarti L'Reisa. That's not a double negative, that's a single negative, like Jonathan said. Deshem Psul Chadhu. Because it's all one Shem Psul. Yachid B'Makom Rabin. Meaning, I'm accepting one guy when I need many. How many? Not two, three, whatever, but the same difference. It's all the idea is I'm taking one when I need plural. When I need multiple. Va'ayin shem shakasav d'chein muchach midrei ator b'simin shach reza v'hayni mili b'dayin echakon shayim mumcha b'kiblo ad kal nashon. It says it's muchach from lashon the tour that way as well. However, I want to skip to the part that I want. Is on the next page of the Ketzos, in the top of the right-hand column on page Lamed Zayin in these editions of the Ketzos. So in the right-hand column, the first skinny line, Ubishach Sivkat and Beis Hisig, because of Dizavi Tarti L'Reisa. The Shach disagrees. He says, no, this is a case of Tarti L'Reisa. What's the case of Tarti L'Reisa? When you accept a single kosher dayan to be all three. Can you ever have one judge? Is one judge ever good enough? Is never such a concept that one judge is good enough. What? Pshara. Take a look at that Bezim and Bezim in this Masechta. So the first mission in the Masechta deals with what kinds of cases you need 3 dayanim for, what kinds of cases you need 23 dayanim for, what kinds of cases you need 70 dayanim or 71 for. So the Gemara, the mission itself actually tells us where we get the numbers 23 and 71 from. 71 is the easy one, because Moshe says, Asfili Shivamish, gather for me 70 men. So it's just a machlokas tanaim. Is it 70 plus Moshe or 70 including Moshe? But so the Sanhedrin Gadol is either 70 or 71. That's Beferish and the Chumash. That's the easy one. Mishnah says, how do I know you need 23 judges for Sanhedrin Katana? Mishnah says, Vishaftu Eida, Vitsilu Ha'eda. The word Eida means 10. It says Eida when it talks about the deliberations of a Sanhedrin. It says that in a normal deliberation of a Sanhedrin, you can have a full Eida of people voting to be Mechayiv the guy, and a full Eida of people voting to acquit the guy, and still have the case decided by the balance of the judges on the Beis Din. So the Gemara says, well, how many judges is that? How many person majority do you need to kill somebody? Let's say you have a 12 to 11 vote, or 10 to 9 vote, L'chayiv. Is that enough to kill him? No, you need a 2-person majority. So if it's possible to have a Beis Din where you have 10 people voting for acquittal, 10 people voting for chiyuv, and you still have enough to be mechayev, how many judges must you have in that Beis Din? 22, right? Because you need to have at least a 2-person majority. So you would have, it would have to be a 12 to 10 vote. Then the Mishnah says, but you're not allowed to have 22 judges on a Beis Din because it's an even number. You need an odd number. Same based in Shakul, Masiv Nalein Orechad, Harekan, Yav Chav Kibbel. Good, so that the Mishnah takes care of. Very long Mishnah, first Mishnah, Masechta. It's not really long Mishnahs. It's like six Mishnahs all put together. It's very odd. The way they used to publish the Gemara, when I went to the Sotheby's exhibit, they had a while ago, did I ever tell you about this? And a while ago, they had an exhibit of old Svarim at Sotheby's, which, you know what that is? It's like a famous auction house in Manhattan. Like they sell really expensive things, they often auction off. So they had a whole Svarim exhibit, old Jewish books. So one of our old Talmidim, Menachem Butler, called me up and said, I'm taking Rav Shechter on a tour, a private tour of the Sotheby's exhibit. You want to come? So I was like, sure. So we went together. It was him, Rav Shechter, me, and one or two other people. And we went around looking at all these different Svarim. And we were looking at old Gemaras from like 500 years ago. And the Gemaras all had at the beginning of the parak, it wasn't like with our Tzur Sadaf, it was before the Vilna Shas was published, so we didn't have, it wasn't by our Dapim, it was just pages of Gemara, you know, however they arranged it. So the all of the Gemaras had, at the beginning of each parak, had all the Mishnayis from the whole parak, and then all the Gemara from the whole parak. It didn't break it up. So when they published the Vilna Shas, someone came up with the brilliant idea that it'd probably be a lot easier for people to, you know, learn one mission at a time, the Gemara and that Mishnah, then the next mission, the Gemara and that Mishnah, rather than having all the Mishnahs, and then have to remember, you know, the whole, all the Gemara and the whole Perek. My guess is that they just forgot to do it for the first Perek of Sanhedrin. They forgot to make the adjustment. Because the first Perek of Sanhedrin, you have all the Mishnahs, all in one long shot, and then you have all the Gemara, the whole Perek. So odd. And they must have just forgot to do it. They forgot to, the editors forgot to make it. I'm guessing, I don't know. But anyway, why was I saying? Oh yeah, because we're all So in the Beis and Beis, the Gemara says, okay, I know why I need 70 judges of Sanhedrin Agadol. I know why I need 23 for the Sanhedrin Ketana. Where do we get the number 3 from? So the Gemara says, that Beis and Beis, it says in the pasuk, Elohim 3 times. That v'nikra balabayis el Elohim, and Elohim means judges in this context, otherwise if it meant God I would have said Elohim. That word means 3 things in Chumash. It either means God, in which case Elohim means judges, or it means what? Right, Avodah Zarah, right. Elohim Acherim. Right? Those are the three possible meanings. So, okay, it means judges. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. The term the term Elohim would imply not just judges, but expert judges. Right? It doesn't say Elohim by all kinds of Dinei Mamonis cases. It only says it by Dinei Mamonis cases that we would call Gzelos v'chavalos. But by Hodaos v'halvaos, which would mean in a regular case, I borrowed money, I lent money, those kinds of cases, you admitted you owe me money, those kinds of cases, it never says the word Elohim in the Chumash. So the Gemara wants to know, is there Eruv Parshios? Can we learn from the fact that it says Elohim by certain kinds of Dinei Mamonis cases, that by all Dinei Mamonis cases you need three judges? So the Gemara says, "E kasaver about seven lines on the bottom, base on base. E kasaver erev parshios kasuf kan liboy nami mumchin. If you hold erev parshios, then you need expert judges. V kasaver ain erev parshios because Elohim means expert judges, and it means three. V kasaver ain erev parshios kasuf kan. And if you hold that you can't apply the word Elohim that it says begzelos vechavalos to hodaos valvaos, then shlosh alamali you shouldn't even need three judges." So says Gemara, no, really it is Erev Parshios, and we want to apply all the dinim, and midaraisa, you should need three experts, but they thought that if we require three expert judges, people are never going to want to lend money because it's going to be too hard to find a beis din. Okay. Gimel Amud Aleph, 10 lines into the page or so. Rav Acha b'Rei Ravika Amar Mida Oraisa Chad Nami Kasher. On a Daraisa level, he says totally different. There's no Erev Parshios. On a Daraisa level, how many judges you need? One. Shnemar B'Tzedek Tishpot Amisecha. Not B'Tzedek Tishpetu. You plural should judge. No, Tishpot, singular. Elim Yishum Yoshevei Kranos. Why do we require three? Just in case the guy you hire is a Yoshev Kranos. What's a Yoshev Kranos? Guy who sits in the corner. So what does that mean? What's the problem with corner dwellers? There's no one that sits in the corner of this room, right? But what? Right. So maybe it just means someone who never was really educated. It's another way of saying, it's a nice way of saying uneducated people. So we're afraid that your judge is going to be an uneducated person. Rav Cook just got the new sefer. I don't know if you saw Rav Moshe Weinberger's Shiurim on Orot Hatshuva. Rav Cook writes that Kronos, it's another one of these typos in the Vilna edition of Shas. He said, "What do we have a problem with the Yashay Kronos? They didn't do anything bad." So he says, "No, it was supposed to be Kuf Reish Vav Tuf with the Shmijik. It's a Rashi Tevis." Karkiyaus v'tartiyaus. The Gemara in Ksubas talks about those who dwell in theaters and stadiums, the people who go to the bullfights, the people cruelty and that kind of thing. That's what Yoshe Kronos doesn't mean. Just on people who sit in corners. What's so bad about sitting in a corner? Okay, but whatever it is, the Gemara says, why do I need three dayanim? Really, midaraisa, I only need one, but I'm afraid that one guy is going to be Yoshe Kronos. So Gemara says, okay, well, if you pick three dayanim, all three might be Yoshevei Kronos. Gemara says, come on. If you have three, you got to hope that at least one of them knows what he's talking about. So what does it sound like from that Gemara? At least according to the Shita of Rach and Breid Ravika, Midor Raisa, how many dayanim do you need? One. So when I'm Mikabel, Avi or Avicha, as the entire Beis Din, is it Tarti L'Raisa or is it Chadil L'Raisa? Right, Tosfos called it Tarti D'Raisa, but one could argue that it's really only Chada because one is really good enough on the D'Raisa level. It's just that I'm taking someone who's Pasul and making him Kasher. Right? So it's really only Chada D'Raisa, or at the very least, if that's the only problem is a numbers problem. Even if the numbers problem is off by several numbers, once the Rabban made the Takana. Let's say we count Reyesos, Drabbanon, as Reyesos, right? Once Drabbanon made a takana that I don't need one, their immediate takana was not that you need two, the takana immediately jumped to the number three. So if I take one kosher dayan in place of three dayanim, it may be a Reyesos because it's din Drabbanon that I need three. But how much of a Reyesos is it? Is it a Tarti the Reyesos? It's not a tardil reisa because there's no difference between 2 and 1. Midoraisa 1 is good and 2 is good. And midrabban, you need 3. So the jump from 1 to 2 isn't a jump at all. It's the same thing. It's a single jump to go from 1 to 3. So it would only be chadil reisa. That's the argument. Is that to the Sma or against the Sma, right? The Sma is the one that said? Right, that it's only Chadul Reisa. That's the Raya for the Sma. That it's only Chadul Reisa if you accept one. Says the Ketzos Vayter, Ubitumim. Tumim was a sefer written by Rabbi Yonis Naipshitz. He wrote a sefer called Urim Vitumim because that's his sefer on Chosh and Mishpat. Cute, no? Chosh and Mishpat, the Kohen Gadol, has the Urim Vitumim in it. And he has another sefer in Yerodeo called Crazy or Placey. He was very into that kind of thing, I guess. So anyway, says Rabbi Yonis Naipshitz, Ubitumim re'isi kasav lehavi raya ledivrei asma d'shem psul chadhu mehadu ne'amanu melai shlosh roi bakar d'kol atlasa pasli v'afilu hachi mahani. So he says, think about it. When I accept shlosh roi bakar, how many reyesas is that? So he says, if you hold, you could argue that it's 3 reyesas. I accept this guy even though he has a psul, that guy even though he has a psul, and that guy even though he has a psul. Or you could argue it's 1 reyesa. I have the right number, I'm just foregoing the psul issue. But the Tum says, probably it's 3 reyesas. Right? It should be 3 reyesas. Because each one is psul. And nevertheless, Shlosh Rei Bakar is one of the examples in our Mishnah where, according to the Chacham, Min Yochel Achzer Bo, that once you're Mekabel Shlosh Rei Bakar, you got to stick with it. Val Karcha, even the Shem Psul Chadu, so it must be that how do we define Reyesa, the number of Reyesas, by how many different Psulim are you foregoing? How many different Psulim are you being Mochel on? If it's one Psul, but multiple times, it only counts as one. The Reyes from Shlosh Rei Bakar, it's the same Psul that I'm being Mochel on 3 times. I'm being mochel on the psul that this one's a roa bakar, that one's a roa bakar, that one's a roa bakar. But it's all roa bakar, so it only counts as one. And therefore, if I accept one dayan as 3, one kosher dayan as 3, the sma's right, it's only one psul. Because it's a yachid, b'makom arabim. Aye, it's b'makom 2 and b'makom 3. It's a yachid, b'makom arabim. It's one shame psul. So far, 2 supports for the sma. One support for the Sma, just that the number 2 is totally insignificant in Dayanus. So counting 1 as 3 is really a single jump. It's a Chadur Reisa. And the second support for the Sma is that we have a Raya from Shlosh Rei Bakar that no matter how many Psulim in fact there are, it's all one shame. And as long as it's one shame, it counts as one Psul. So if I decide that I want 3 Krovim, Abba v'Avicha v'Achi, to be my dayanim? Am I locked in? Is that binding? According to the Chachamim? No, how would you call that? I want Abba, Avicha, and whatever, my brother, to all be the 3 dayanim. Is that chad psul, one shame psul, or multiple shames of psul? It's one. They're all krovim. It's all one shame psul. It's a great chiddush according to this man. Tulsa says, Tarti the Reisa, that's not binding at all. What was Tulsa's example of Tarti the Reisa? That I decide to be Mekabel, what was it? I decide to be Mekabel Avi as all 3. It's 2 shameless psul. 1, he's a Karov, and 2, he's only a single person, not 3. But what if I decide Abba, Avicha, and my brother as the 3? So it's all one shame psul. The numbers I got right. I just have an issue of Krovim. So according to this Ma, it would turn out that would be okay. So Shlosh Rei Bakar, it doesn't have to be Shlosh Rei Bakar, it could be Shlosh Krovim also. Then says the Ketzos, I think that Raya about from Shlosh Rei Bakar, that as long as it's one shame, it's okay, is a terrible Raya. It says, Amnami Shlosh Rei Bakar Einu Muchach Klal. It's not a Raya at all. Tal Kaimelim Bechad the Gamir Sagi, because we paskin that a single guy who knows is enough. And go back to what we said. How many people do you really need midaraisa and beis? You only need one. We only have shlosha because of Yoshevei Kronos. If that's the case, All you need is one guy who knows. So how many races do you have when you have Shlosha Roy Bakar? It's only one reisa. Forget about one shame reisa. Three times. Not three times. Really only one time. Because really all you need is one. Assuming that Drabanan reisas don't count as Drabanan, you know, as reisas. Okay, what one last point for thought, point to ponder that we'll just close shir with is where is it? I just saw it in here yesterday. Is Rabbi Kiva Eger. I saw it quoted in the Biure Adaf. Yeah, and I have it. I printed out the tshuva for you. There is a pasuk. Gemara Basu Kufnunheim base teaches us from a pasuk that a katan is pasul le'edus. Va'amdu shnei ha'anashim, anashim v'lo katanim. And only men can be edim, not katanim. Frekt, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a katan is pasul le'edus? There's a fundamental reason why a katan has to be pasul le'edus. There's a rule called edus shi'yata yachala zima. Any edus that you can't make edim zomimin is automatically pasul. Can you make a katan edim zomimin? The katan is lying that Reuven killed Shimon, and two people come saying, "Manu Yisim, you were with us. What do we do to the katan? Can't kill him. Can't kill a katan. It's not a baronshin." So by definition, he's pasul edus. Why do I need a pasul? Vamdu shnei anashim teach me that a katan is pasul edus. Anyway, he's pasul edus. He's pasul edus. Because he's a katan and he's a yat yachal azima. The answer to that question, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, lies in our discussion of Tarti L'Reisa versus Chadu L'Reisa. So maybe we'll start with Rabbi Kiva Eger tomorrow, and then we'll move on to answering our real question, which is by what mechanism any of this Kabbalah works in the first place with an Emin Alayaba. So that is the plan for tomorrow. If you have time for Temin Halacha, we'll do that now.